guys. I wanted to give a little bit of information before we move forward with this episode. I recorded this episode with the guest about a week ago, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear it, but I wanted to preface it with something kind of strange that happened. So while me and the guest were recording, everything was fine. Everything was good. When I put this episode together, I realized, listening halfway through, that there's a lot of lag or times when maybe the audio doesn't sync and there's like missing parts. I think it sounds okay, but I wanted to give you guys kind of a heads up before you guys listen so you guys aren't getting like uber irritated that it's like that. We plan on having the guest on the show multiple times, so no worries on if you are unable to kind of get through the small portions that are having the lag. But like I said, the weird part was it wasn't doing it when we were recording, so maybe it's a sign. I don't know. And then the second thing that I wanted to bring up before we start this episode is I had been reached out to by Charlie's mom. Charlie recently passed away in a very tragic and sad way. I am not going to go into complete detail of what happened with Charlie because I don't want to trigger anybody. The gist of things, I'd say long story short, but the gist of things is Charlie got out of his yard and passed away from being struck by a car. So I wanted to, you know, talk about Charlie's story. Charlie's mom reached out, who wants to stay anonymous, and she reached out to let us know about Charlie's story and to kind of get awareness out there about the situation and to, you know, talk about Charlie. And so I wanted to do a little preface before this episode to talk about Charlie and to talk about how awesome Charlie was and what a great mom Charlie's mom was, and to, you know, spread the word, like Charlie's mom had said, that she wanted Charlie to be heard and she wanted his story to be told. She mentioned that she feels some guilt because she pulled him from the streets to put him in a home of love and protection, and at the end she feels like she failed to protect him. But as we all of us who have listened to this podcast can relate 100%, that no matter the situation, we always have that guilt and we always carry that with us. And I know I spoke personally with Charlie's mom, but I want to reiterate what I had said, that you did everything you possibly could. And though your time with him was short, he knew that you loved the shit out of him. So don't look at it in the perspective of that you failed him. Look at how many years you gave him where he had a loving home life and that he had a bunch of people around him that really appreciated him and loved him. And though his end was tragic, it doesn't define the time you had with him. So I want to give all the love and the light to Charlie and Charlie's mom. And I want Charlie's mom, if she's listening, to hear that we all are here for you. You have a community within us, and that Charlie was very lucky to have you as his mom. And the decisions that were made and the things that happened does not define the relationship that you had with Charlie, nor does it define the ending and define how you proceed with this. Things happen. Everybody has things happen that they wish they could change, and maybe quote-unquote mistakes that they've made. But in this situation and knowing what happened, I definitely feel, as you know, the guest I had on with Wolfie's Wish had said, everything kind of had to align to create a perfect storm. And a lot of times in these situations, that's exactly how it is. And so even if you had made a different decision, in the end, the result could have been the same. It could have just been that it was Charlie's, you know, time to not be in the physical world. And it also could have been, you know, any situation could have happened. So at the end of the day, we're here for you. We're giving love and light for you and Charlie. And we appreciate you reaching out. And I think we are going to start with the episode. Hey there, and welcome to episode 7, season 3 of Rainbow Bridge Connection. I'm Kayla. And like I say every time, I have an amazing guest here with me. Her name is Nicole Strickland, and she's an afterlife and paranormal researcher. So I kind of wanted to switch things up, and I wanted you guys to hear a perspective, possibly from somebody that deals with afterlife and paranormal, that isn't necessarily like a medium or something like that. So I think this episode will be great. Hi, Nicole.
Hello, Kayla. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Of course. We're excited to have you.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, a little bit of your story, and tell me like what brought you here.
Sounds good. So to keep this short, I am a paranormal and afterlife researcher. Of course, in my spare time, in my real job, I'm a freelance writer and counselor. But in my spare time, for many years, I've had a passion for in-depth paranormal research, afterlife studies, and of course, writing as well. And so for this specific podcast, I love your podcast, by the way, I love the title. I wanted to share some profound experiences that I've had with my cats. I've had cats my entire life, animals my entire life, but specifically my cat, Kaylee, when she was, of course, alive in the physical, but as well after she passed on, some very deeply spiritual experiences with her. But it's I'm one of these individuals that's very passionate, very devoted to paranormal and afterlife research, not out there thrill seeking, anything like that. What you see on TV, it's the real. So it's a love of mine. And of course, I have a love of writing as well. And speaking, so I do that as well in my spare time. But I'm looking forward to sharing these stories, and thank you again for having me.
Of course, we're happy to have you. We're excited.
Yeah.
Specifically just because it's a different perspective than what we've normally had on the show. We talk a lot about grief and stuff, but we really don't, you know, dive deep. You know, it can be kind of hard. It can be kind of tricky when you dive deep into the afterlife and,
yes,
you know, beliefs and stuff like that. So it's really cool to have you on, and I'm really excited to hear what you have to say. So if you want to get started on, like, tell us about, like, start out with telling us about more about, like, the afterlife and the paranormal research that you do, because I'm interested not just even the perspective, you know, when it comes to animals, but just in general.
In general, right. Yeah. And it's one of those fields that I've been interested in since I was a child. I had experiences going back as far as I can remember, 4 and 5 years old, even in Las Vegas when I lived there. And I'm in San Diego now. And so that interest stayed with me even in middle school, high school. I would read anything on the paranormal, but specifically my senior year at the University of Arizona, my maternal grandmother, Helen Lopinto, she actually called me the night before she passed. And she wanted to ask if I was okay. And I thought, well, this is odd. So I talked with her like I always did. And then fast forward to the next day, her mom, or her daughter, of course, my mom, called me. And I could tell by the tone of her voice that something was off. And she said, I love you, sweetie, but grandma passed away in the morning. So I came right back to San Diego from Tucson, Arizona, and spent some time with the family. When I went back to Tucson, I started having experiences in my apartment that I didn't experience prior to her passing. I brushed them off initially because I figured, well, I'm in an apartment, you know, it's my neighbors, it's vibration, it's ambient noise, whatever. But these experiences kept persisting, and they kept not changing, but building up. First, it was doorknobs rattling, and that's something she used to go do at night. Every single night, she would go around and check the doors to make sure they were locked. Then it was feeling like a hand caress my face. And then that culminated into me seeing her full bodied spirit apparition right in front of me. And I thought that I was maybe projecting that because of grief. But I do think after thinking about it, you know, 20 some odd years later, I do think that she did come to me. And so that experience really catapulted me into active investigation and research of the paranormal, specifically ghosts and haunted locations. There's all kinds of different categories, but specifically those. And then, of course, afterlife study. So I've been doing that for, wow, like over 20 years. I worked with different teams, and then San Diego Paranormal Research Society in 2009. And so we investigate haunted locations, or historic locations, I should say, businesses and private residences. And there's two categories. There's ghost hunters and those that are thrill seeking. And then there's researchers who really delve into supplemental historical research of the property, extensive interviews of witnesses, and then the investigation that we do, or case study if we're there for a long time. We conduct experiments at the property, different types of methodologies. And then it's a matter of reviewing data and writing a report and meeting with the client. So that's what we do. And it's really been a passion of mine. And it's helped me to understand, I guess, the dying process a little bit more. I'm not so freaked out about it. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many very deeply profound spiritual experiences with deceased loved ones. Of course, other energies I don't know on investigations. So it's been an eye opener for me. And I'm always learning with it, which is great. So, mm-hmm.
So I have a question. You've had all these experiences, and this is for like, this is a personal question for me, but also probably fits for a lot of our listeners. Sure. Why do you think that you're able to receive these experiences? You know, personally in my life, I really wanted, to this day, I want those experiences. I want to know that there's, you know, something after this. Mm-hmm. And I've had, you know, a lot of previous deaths. And then I feel like nothing ever happens to me where I could say like, oh, without a doubt, or that was an experience or whatever. And a lot of people around me say it's because I'm not open enough to it, I guess. Why do you think that, like, specifically maybe you were able to receive those and continue to be able to receive different experiences?
This is an excellent question. And to honestly answer it, I would have to say I don't really know, but mm-hmm. I could theorize on it and say, well, I am open to it. I'm not hyperactively seeking it. I just let it come to me. And I think it's just part of that universal connection, maybe collective consciousness, and we're all connected. And the more that I've been in the field and doing this work, the more my own senses have opened up. And that's with anyone. Every single person on the planet has the capacity to be intuitive, mm-hmm. and has the capacity to be psychic, if you will, or be a channeler. Everyone does, just not everyone maybe is open to it. I almost equate it to a sport. The more you practice it, the better your skills will get. It's just, it's something that I guess naturally just came. I wasn't actively every single day saying, I want to experience this. I want to experience it. It just came naturally. And I think if one entity has the answer, the real answer as to why, it would be the universe. Mm-hmm. And that's how I would go to talk about it. It's an individual thing. And I hear that too. I hear of other people too saying, oh my gosh, you know, I've many people I know have passed away. I've never had an experience. But I think part of it is being open to it. Maybe just allowing yourself to be open to it, it might help. Mm-hmm. But it's going to happen for you, I guess, when time is right. Mm-hmm. So.
And you don't feel like there's a time frame, right? Like it's, I always would be like, you know, like it just happened. Why am I not getting any signs? It should be like the more time that goes by and I wouldn't get a sign, I'd be like, well, it's not going to happen ever now. You know what I mean? And so
yeah.
You feel like it's like at any time, like I mean, obviously, if you're doing historical places where there's still visitations or there's still, paranormal things that are happening, there's not really a time frame, but
Yeah, I would agree to that. It's hard to, because we know time in the physical world, but for them, I don't know. Maybe there is a time there, maybe there's not. The theory is that there's not. I think another component to it too is how an individual approaches their work as a paranormal investigator or in afterlife studies. I am a staunch advocate of the spirit and the afterlife, even other energies, even cryptids. And there's a lot of people in the field that are, out there exploiting it, out there for their own reasons, wanting to get fame, things of that nature, and are not really approaching it with the respect and reverence that it needs. And I one of my theories, and my dear friend and team co-director, Ali Schreiber, we've talked about this. We approach our work with respect, a reverence of not only the location, but of the energies there. And I think that does help. It's just, if you think about it, if you're around, whether you're at work or whatnot, and you're being nice to people, people are going to be nice to you back, right? You're not going to just go up to a stranger and start asking them a bunch of questions. So I think that plays into it too, as well. So you hear these provocative stories and people just being so rude, just with the intention of trying to get an EVP or electronic voice phenomenon. Doesn't work that way. You have to be respectful and treat people. It's the golden rule, basically. And so I think that that helps as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really insightful. So you want to talk a little bit more? Do you want to talk about the animal aspect now and
Yeah.
like some of the experiences that you've had and how you feel?
Sounds good. So I've had cats all my life, my goodness, going way back to when I was a newborn. My mom had one of our cats sleeping in the crib. I know, right? This was back in like 1979. So I adopted Max and Kaylee and their brother, litter mates, and I adopted them shortly after the 2003 wildfires that we had, and they were terrible. We had to evacuate and everything. So it was about a month, maybe 5 weeks after that. And so my intention was to adopt kittens, litter mate kittens. And so I drove to different Petcos and PetSmarts, and I stopped at a Petco often on, it was like Marina Boulevard or whatnot. And I saw Max and Kaylee. They had different names at that point. I fell in love, filled out an application. It was like an instant bond. It's hard to explain in words, but when I saw them in their temporary home, I should say, they looked at me. Kaylee at the time reached out her paw to me, and it was just this instant connection, I think, that I felt with them, but that they felt with me. And the bond that we have is just incredible. And so fast forward, I mean, many years of just amazing times together. Max actually passed away in 2016 from cardiomyopathy. And even after his passing, I had amazing experiences of like hearing him, hearing his meow. He would come to me in dreams, just even synchronicity type experiences. When we took him the night before he passed, we took him to the emergency hospital there, and they said, well, maybe he had a reaction to his beta blockers, or it could be heart failure. And so they took him back, did some tests, and then we were out in the waiting room, and synchronously, the song Endless Love started playing on the ceiling speakers right at the time that the veterinarian came out. And I could tell by the expression on his face that the news wasn't going to be good. And of course, he came out and said, I'm so sorry, but he's going into heart failure. So I took that song as Endless Love, just totally synchronous, and it helped a little bit, but it was just horrible devastation to lose him. And then Kaylee and I had several years after his passing together, and it just the bond, the more of a bond that we created, just her and I. And fast forward to her transition, it was December 19th of 2021, and it was horrible. She had, I mean, this was an 18-year-old cat that was so intelligent, so vibrant. She was dealing with diabetes. She was dealing with, heart issues as well, but then also hyperthyroidism as well. So she carried on for several years with that, and then just got in December of 2009 or 2021, it worsened. And so she was in the hospital for a few nights. And so they allowed her to come home with us for some golden moments. And then I told her, I said, Kaylee, you let me know when it's time, and I'll take you. And she came to me the morning, the day that she passed, and she got in bed with me, and we talked and all of this, and I cuddled with, and my mom and I actually took her to the hospital, and it was honestly the most peaceful transition I've ever seen in an animal. And from that instant on, again going into synchronicity, it was a succession of experiences where bright sunlight shining through the door right after she passed. Even the veterinarian was like, wow, I feel her energy. We went to In and Out, and then there was a billboard I happened to just glance at that had a fingertip pointing to a bright orb of light. You can't logically explain that, but it's just the synchronicity aspect is quite interesting. And it started a couple of nights after where I had these dream visitations with her. We're not talking about just regular dreams. We're talking about almost a dream visitation mixed in with an astral projection on my part, if you will. I know not everyone will believe in this, but I've never had this with a human. I've never had this with any other animal. A couple of nights after, and I've had about 14 of these so far past. Every once in a while she'll come, and it's the same environment, same room, it's the same lighting. I'm in the same position as I am when I'm asleep, and I'm able to meet her. I think she comes up to my plane a little bit, and I'm able to kind of meet her. We meet in the middle, kind of meet her on hers, and I'm able to feel her. I'm able to see her. I'm able to feel her. Like I've felt her fur. I've felt her purr. These are. It's not really happening. It's in a dream-like state, but it's not really a dream either. It's very hard to explain, but it's deeply, deeply spiritual. And my mind, because I'm a logical person, tries to explain it. I have to stop it because, you can't explain it really. But I'm able to feel her, and it's as if she's alive, actually. And when she comes to me when I'm asleep like this, it's incredible. And I've had like 14 of these amazing, amazing dream visitations with her. And I don't know why it's happening. I don't know how. I think that she might, just because she was so intelligent in life, maybe she has this intelligent, maybe intelligence and spirit as well. Maybe she's gone up the ranks in spirithood, and she's in a high rank up there. I don't know. And but whatever it is, it's beautiful. I mean, I've asked her to bring Max. I don't think she has yet. I don't know if he's able to do this like she is, but it's something that is beautiful. It's something that hearing me talk about it, people might be like, well, no, that no way, that's not happening. But if you experience it yourself, you're gonna know what I'm talking about. So, but it's controversial because not everyone all this and all of that. But it's just this connection that I have to visit with her like that, even though she's, transitioned to the hereafter. So.
No, that's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. It's crazy because I had dreams. There was like times where I would have dreams about, but they were never like that. You know what I mean? They were always like the only dream I ever had. We recently had Kaya passed away in September, and I had a dream about her, like, I don't know, I think it was like 2 months after she passed away. And it was the weirdest thing because in my dream, she would hang out under the table when she was alive while we were eating dinner because she liked,
Oh, yeah, of
taking
course.
scraps or whatever.
Of course.
And in my dream, I was talking to my sister who used to live with us, and I was like, oh my God, is that Kaya over there? And she was like going under the table, like she had just rounded and was going under the table. And I was like, wait a minute. And in my dream, I knew she had passed away. And I'm like, she's not alive. Kaya, and I'm like calling her, I'm like, Kaya, come here. And she came out and she was all happy and wagging her tail
And
and I
this
was
was all
petting
in
on
your
her.
dream.
Yeah.
This was all in your, see, well, that's kind of a similar, I would say that that's similar to what I'm experiencing.
Yeah,
So
that's beautiful.
it's you wanna, the mind wants to understand it and understand like how it happens and all of this, but it's just one of those that I just have to surrender and leave it up to the universe, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
But
that's
it
a
does
great way to
help.
put it. That's a great way to
Yeah.
put it. 'Cause I'm like you, I'm a very logical,
No, yeah.
I used to be very, believe in everything and, I was religious and all that stuff. And so when we had our first, dog pass away, it was very much like, well, she's going to heaven and, it is what it is. And we had an instance that was kind of weird after she passed. It was like 24 hours later. I had this backpack that would light up and we were in my room and I was like, oh, like, I just wish you knew. I just wish I knew she was okay. And the backpack started lighting up in a
Oh,
weird
wow.
like way, like it wasn't doing it like it normally would. And I always held on to that, like for years. I held on to like, okay, that was her, that was her, that was her. But then your brain does this thing that the more time that goes, you're like, was it her? Did that really happen? Am I remembering it correctly? It tries to like trick you into
I
not
know
thinking
it.
it's real.
Exactly. And that I know that all too well. And it's I just have to surrender because my the first dream with Kaylee, that this intense dream visitation with Kaylee happened two nights after she passed. And it was different than all the rest. And it basically in the dream, she used to sit on my desk. Sorry, I'm like all over
No,
this
you're
here. She
fine.
used to sit on my desk. She would love to sit on, jump on my desk, lay on my desk, watch me and whatever on my computer. And so in this dream, the first one, 2 nights after she transitioned, she was laying on the desk and I saw her and I said to myself, okay, or I said to her, I said, Kaylee, you're here. Can I touch you? Can I feel you? And I leaned over and put my arms around her and it was as if she was alive. I was feeling her warmth, her purring, I could see her. And then I woke up. But it's also too a feeling, the feeling you feel when you wake up. For me, when I've had these, there's this utter peace that you feel. Just it's nothing but peace and love that you feel when you wake up from these types of dreams. It's something that I've tried to hold on to because they've helped me so much with the grief of losing her and her brother. I was extremely close to them, extremely. I loved all my other animals too, but there was
Right.
something with Max and Kaylee, and it's just this, it's amazing. It really
Yeah.
is.
Yeah, we always talk about like your soul animal. You know what I mean? Like it just so
Right.
happens like you love them all, but
Right.
there's always the one or a couple that are just like you it's different. Like I
Yes.
always felt like with Kaya, she was like the other half of me. Like
Yes,
she
that's
was like
it.
the dog
Yes.
version of me.
Exactly. And that, thank you for bringing that up. I was going to mention earlier, and I don't know why I didn't, but it's as if that we're all a part of the same soul group, because I do believe that humans and animals can be a part of the same soul group. And it's like when Kaylee and Max would look at me, it's like they're looking through me, like looking through my soul. And it's hard to explain, but my goodness.
Yeah.
So
No,
that was
that's
good.
beautiful.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. So tell me, I want to know, I like there's so many things that I want to ask you. So
Okay.
we might have to do like multiple episodes
We can, sure, I
because
know. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I have so many questions and I'm sure like you guys do. So like you do too, the listeners. So reach out like if you want specific questions and we can try and have her
Yeah,
on again and
that'd be great.
answer some really cool questions. But I have a couple of questions. So when you go check you out, I said I did a little research about you before
Look at
I
you.
had
I know
you
I didn't send
on.
you anything. Shame on me. And
No, you're fine.
I do podcasting as well. So it's like one of my things is like I have people send me, their bio, their talking points, all that. I was like, I didn't send her anything. Shame on me.
No, you're totally fine. Like I said, we're pretty laid back and chill here. So
I
I
love
tend
it.
to like go, you know, like we're just having a conversation, the two of us, because
See,
I think
that's
it
the way
works
it
the
should
best.
be. Yes, it does. There's too many rigid, like interview like podcasts where it's like you feel like you're on a job interview. It's like, no, I want it to be conversational.
Yeah, we had a
Yep.
we had a I just interviewed somebody that was like a week ago, and she was from Ireland, and
Oh.
I kept telling her after we did it, I was like, I love hearing you talk, and I love the way that you talk, and like you're gonna have to come on a lot because the
Yes, I know.
information you're talking about is great, and your voice is great,
I know.
and
Oh my
it
gosh.
was so nice to just have like kind of a, it was like a little friend session, you know,
There
where you
you
could just
go.
talk on
I
a
love it.
podcast. So yeah,
I
no,
love
that's great.
it.
We're gonna have to have you on for sure more, but I
Sure.
did want to ask about, tell me about, and this isn't animal related, guys. This is just paranormal, and I'm, you know, I'm a nerd. Tell me
So
about
am
the queen.
I.
Tell me about the Queen Mary.
Oh my God. Do we have like, okay, I will give you, okay, we need to do a whole episode on that. I'm telling you. Okay. So this, it kind of goes into the bonds, you know, that I was talking about with Max and Kaylee, similar with the Queen Mary. My first experience with the ship was in the year 2000, and I was still at the University of Arizona. And so we came back out here for spring break. And so one of my friends and I did the 3-day carnival cruise where you get to go, you sail just for one day. It's a day at sea. You go to Ensenada, Mexico, and then Catalina. And it was really fun. And so on the way to the cruise, because there's a carnival cruise terminal right there, I saw this amazing historic ship. And I said to myself, in the back seat, I said, I will be back someday. Okay. So that day came 5 years later in 2005. And it's again hard to explain. But the second I stepped foot, I went up the elevator, up the gangway, and I stepped foot on A deck, which is where the hotel lobby check-in is. And it was this instantaneous connection and love with the Queen Mary. Now, in my research, I've talked with former crew, former passengers, World War II servicemen that sailed on board, war brides, and many of them too feel this way. So there's just something about Mary, I guess. And the captain, John Treasure Jones, who brought her in to Long Beach in retirement in December 9th, 1967, he said the Queen Mary is as closest to a human being of any ship I've ever commanded. And it's so true. I mean, absolutely historical. I think she's probably the most beautiful ship ever constructed. I do think the Titanic was as well. They're often compared to one another, actually. But a lot of people don't know this, that the Queen or the Titanic could actually fit inside the Queen Mary, so it's a lot bigger.
What?
But yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but it's true. Yeah. So very, very historic ship. Was built in 1934. Voyage. Her Majesty Queen Mary christened her and named her Queen Mary after her, so it's her namesake. And launch September 26, 1934. Maiden voyage May 20, 1936. Designated to so it was not a cruise ship; it was an ocean liner. So it would sail from Southampton to Cherbourg, France, to New York City and back, and that was her route. And then up until 1939, she was requisitioned for World War II troop ship duties, basically for two reasons: her size and speed. And so, as the years went on during World War II, her troop capacity size would increase. It would go from like 5,000 to 10,000, 15,000. And then in July of 19, oh gosh, I think it was 1943. She, and it's today, this is still a record number, held 16,683 souls on board, including servicemen and crew. And so prevailed during World War II. There, Hitler had a bounty on her for any submarine U-boat captain that could sink her would get what was it, a $250,000 reward and the Iron Cross with oak leaves. It was this major thing. Of course, that never happened. And so then after World War II, she carried war brides as well. She was a hospital ship at one point as well, carrying injured people to the injured soldiers through the United Kingdom. And then the war bride, she carried about, I think, around like 22,000 war brides in total. And then after she regained her pre-war status of of carrying people, you know, Southampton to Cherbourg to and back. I mean, the Queen Mary has, I mean, famous people. We're talking celebrities, dignitaries, people from all walks of life sailed on the Queen Mary. And so then she retired in Long Beach. Long Beach won out at 3.45 million. And here we are with this historic ship. And today she's a hotel, museum. There's restaurants on board. Just very, very, I mean, the history of the Queen Mary is amazing. But she's also active with paranormal activity as well. And so I've been investigating the ship both historically and paranormal wise since about 2005. Some of my most profound paranormal experiences have occurred on the Queen Mary. So, and I have three books on her. So if that doesn't say how much I love the ship, I don't know what else does. So, yeah.
Tell us a couple about tell like tell us a couple of the experiences that you had.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. Let's see. I'll do the two that come to my head. The first say. So let's see. John, I'm going to not re reveal his last name just out of respect for the family, but he was John P. His last name starts with a P. So we'll JP. And he was an 18-year-old fireman and bilge cleaner that worked on board the Queen Mary. I think his first was March of 1966. And so he was working in the boiler rooms as a fireman and bilge cleaner. And then on, I think it was voyage number 482 or 483, this was July of 1966. He was in the aft engine room, and sadly, he was found wedged, barely alive, wedged in watertight door number 13 on the starboard shaft alley side. And so the doctor and nurse came down and they administered morphine. Sadly, tragically, he didn't make it. To this day, no one, in the research I've done, no one saw what happened. I think a crew member came afterwards and found him wedged. But no one knows exactly what happened. My theory is that maybe he was trying to release the levers on either side of the door, lost track of time. That's a theory I have. You know, there's rumors going on in the internet saying that, oh, he was playing a game of chicken, seeing who could get through the watertight doors, you know, as, you know, in fast times, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that happened just because of the way the ship was. It was in port, it was a foggy situation. And if you did anything like that, I mean, they would boot your butt off. So I don't think that that happened. But sadly, he passed away and is one of the most beloved, most popular energies on board. So I have electronic, I have EVPs of him. I've heard him bleed, but I actually saw him and I've seen him a few times, like shadow figure peripheral out of my peripheral vision. But this one time, oh, I want to say it was like 2015, I think it was. I was in boiler room number 4, and I was in it. What was weird is I was in a daydream state, and then I saw movement out of my right peripheral vision. And then when I looked, I saw him. I saw JP full bodied from the shoulders up. So shoulders, neck, head. He floated toward me, smiling, and then kind of and then floated backwards and then faded. So that was a very, very profound encounter. I gosh, there's so many. Jackie is another little girl, Queen Mary, another very popular, beloved spirit on board. The had numerous experiences with her. I've seen her. She almost looks like she could be a sister or a cousin to Shirley Temple, kind of that type of look. Very intelligent, very playful. She's all over the ship. I've heard her. I've experienced her. We were actually doing an investigation, myself and some other teams, in the former first and third class pool. This was back in, I want to say 2010 or 2011. And we were asking Jackie questions. At one point, I asked, Jackie, is your real Jackie? And then another investigator followed that up with, oh, is that a name people call you? And we, it wasn't disembodied because we didn't hear it at the time, but later on in our review, we captured an EVP of a little girl saying, my name is Jackie. And I know her voice. I mean, when you're on the Queen Mary for so many times, like me, I mean, hundreds of times on board, you start to get familiar with the different energies and the ones that come through frequently, and you can really get in tune with what their voice sounds like and know who it is and things of that nature. So there's so many. I mean, the Queen Mary, I could talk like 24 hours on it nonstop. I kid you not. It's beautiful. I love it.
That's great. No, that's great. I'm
I've such seen... a nerd.
No, you're fine. Like, I'm that's totally nerd. Awesome. It gives you, like, you know, a passion, and it gives you something to really, like, research and stuff. And I find it very interesting that, you know, you're able to do, like you said, do historical research. You're not just out there, like, talk to me, you know.
I cannot, thank you. I cannot stand when people do that. It's the same thing. Are you going to go up to a stranger in the store and just start asking them personal questions? No, you're going to want to get to know them first. And so we have this, whenever we do audio types of experimentation, or just talking in general, maybe it's a divining rod or dowsing rod session, we have this whole opening statement that we have, which is designed to let the energies know, you know, we come with respect, we come as friends, you know, we're not here to force you to talk with us. If you want to, that's great. And we make it, you know, conversational. And so I think that helps. I think it sets the tone. Yeah.
Of course, it would be so fitting that my dog decided to jump up and start barking right when you're talking about all of that.
I have a 22-year-old cat in the next room, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, she's going to start meowing at any moment now. So,
no, it's totally, that's hilarious. So the last question that I have for you, and this one, you know, you can just answer it however you like, because I think you would have more experience with this. What is your take and your experience or slash ideas on animals being a little bit more open to seeing or hearing paranormal afterlife things versus humans?
I absolutely believe that they're more open. And the main reason for that, how I would describe it, is humans sometimes, God love us all, but we get trapped in our ego and sometimes can't get through that egotistical film to see the truth or see the innocence or see the, you know, all of the humility, sadly. And so animals don't really have that. I think that because of that, they're just so innocent at all times, and that helps them to connect with, you know, the after and all of that a little bit more. That was my main take. And, you know, maybe intelligence wise, maybe they're just designed and born as being slightly more intuitive than humans. I don't know, but I think a lot of it has to do with the ego. And because they don't have that, it's, you know, all the time, unconditional love. I think that plays into it.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think
that's a good
question. I think that was really, that's really profound that you said that, because I agree with you. I think sometimes, even if they don't act funky, like, even if, you know, because some people would be like, oh, I caught on video my dog staring at something, or, you know, looking at something or hearing something that wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I feel like they even if they don't do that, there's still that intuitiveness that, you know, they know what you're feeling. They know your thoughts almost.
Right. You know what I mean? Exactly. Exactly. So. Yes. And, you know, that's what I think, you know. And I, you know, I've heard people say, oh my gosh, my cat or my dog is being a little, you know, little whatever, a little stinker or whatever. But I mean, that's just them. It's all innocent. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't, you know, I that's, yeah. I think that's why we love them so much.
Yeah, I agree. So. Well, and it's what gives us that connection that we have with them.
Right.
You know, that unconditional love. I always say that's why I love my dogs more than anything in the world, because
exactly.
They love me more than anything in the world.
Right. I know. It's this two-way relationship. Totally.
Yep.
So
awesome. Well, I'm so glad that you came on the show, and I'm serious. You should come on as much as you want.
Sure.
And talk about other experiences. And
yeah, if you want to think of some themed episodes we could do, I'm totally down.
Yeah.
But your show is fabulous. I love the name, of course, you know, the guests that you've had on. So keep doing the work you're doing, because it's really good. So
I appreciate that a lot. Yeah, we'll have you guys reach out. I always tell you guys every episode, you know, if you want to have any questions or you want to share any of your stories, feel free to reach out. reach out if you have any questions for Nicole. I'm sure she would be more than willing to, you know, we do a Q&A episode where we
Oh,
take all of your
sure.
questions and she
Yeah.
can answer any of them based off of her personal experiences when it comes to, you know, the paranormal, the afterlife. And I think I have one last question and then we'll close it up. Do you strictly do paranormal investigation, afterlife investigation in California, or are you open to moving around the United States?
Oh yeah, I'm open to it. Time-wise and all of that, I don't get to a lot of the out-of-state places as much as I'd like to. But yeah, no, I've done a lot of places in Chicago because I also am the California coordinator for the Ghost Research Society, which is based out of Chicago. So I've done some iconic locations out there. But yeah, it's just in California, San Diego County mainly, just be for the team for Paranormal Research Society. But we do go to LA and things of that nature. Maybe out of town when we can. But myself individually, yeah, there's so many places I have yet to investigate, want to get to. So,
Yeah, that's
yep.
awesome. I always wonder that. I always wonder, like, if
Yeah.
it's because, you know, California, I think, is pretty rich in
It is.
paranormal history, where you could
Oh, yeah.
probably do it for the rest of your life just going to California stuff.
Oh,
But,
totally,
you
totally.
know, we live in Colorado, or I live in Colorado, and we are
Oh,
kind of the
that's
same
beautiful.
way, where we have, you know,
You
like a bunch
have.
of weird stuff here.
I know Colorado is amazing. Like I could live there. It's so pretty. I love it.
Yeah, it's nice. I wouldn't live anywhere else. I mean, I wouldn't know what it is living anywhere else because I've only
Right.
lived
I know.
here, but yeah, I really like it. But yeah, we have some weird stuff. Of course, the traditional, everybody talks about the Stanley, but that one kind of
Yes.
irks me because it's like, why choose that? The ever That is not the number one in Colorado. Don't choose the Stanley every
I
single
know that's
time.
it's the same thing with the Whaley House here in San Diego. I love the Whaley House. You know, God bless, excuse me. I'm not religious, but I just said that. God bless the Whaley family. You know, I mean, I've had encounters there and all that, but it's just everyone wants to do the Whaley House. And it's like there's so many other places here. So I get it. I get it. Yep.
Totally.
Thank
Awesome.
you.
Awesome. So yeah, we'll have her back on. Reach out if you
Sure.
guys want, have any questions or anything that you would like to ask Nicole, and we'll have her back on. We'll try and do a Q&A so you guys can ask anything, and it doesn't have to be
Yeah.
pertaining specifically to animal afterlife, but if it is, bonus points. Just kidding.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Awesome. And then
Awesome.
let me know when it airs. I'll, of course, promote it and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So thanks guys for listening, and we hope that you are doing good, feeling good, sending love and light to all you guys. And thanks for tuning in. See you till next time.
Bye-bye.